all your prayers. I'd like to look at Genesis, the 4th chapter. The story of Cain and Abel. Well, let's see, we'll go ahead with the first verse. It says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. And then this phrase is what I want to think about a little this morning. Am I my brother's keeper? The story of Cain and Abel, I think there is a lot of things to assume or givens in it to understand the story. I read from the commentators, some of them, the assumed thought of what the phrase or the idea that says, then Cain talked with Abel after they had made the sacrifices, and Abel's was accepted and Cain's wasn't. It said that Cain talked with Abel. And the accepted story goes something like this. Cain says, was the world made in mercy? And is there judgment and justice? And he says, is there penalty for wrong and reward for right? And of course, this is my thinking of it. This is the way it was put. Cain says, no, there's not. The world was not made in mercy, and there is not judgment and justice, and there is not rewards for those that do right, and penalties for those that do wrong. Because I made an offering, and you made an offering, and yours was accepted and mine wasn't. And there's no reason for it to be that way. That's kind of the way the story goes. And Abel says the world was made in mercy. And there is judgment, and there is justice. And there is a reward for doing right, and there is a penalty for doing wrong. And my offering was accepted because what I'm doing is acceptable. I'm right before the Lord, and my offering was right, and the Lord done accepted me in that, and yours wasn't. So the assumption from the commentators is that the first killing was over a religious squabble of what is right and what is wrong, and then he rose up and slew Abel. And so the Lord comes along and says to Cain, where is your brother? And he said, I don't know where my brother is. And this is the assumption of it. He's of age. Am I my brother's keeper means, how old was he anyway? He's old enough to defend for himself. He's old enough to take care of himself. I'm not responsible for him in any way. And it could also mean, Lord, you're responsible for him, not me. You're the one that watches over everything and has made things the way they are. If you wanted him to protect him, you could protect him. Why are you asking me? I'm not my brother's keeper. You are. You're the one that keeps. I'm not. I'm not responsible for somebody who's out of age. He can take care of himself as well as I can. But it really offers the question, I think, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible? And when I say brother here, I think that it's right to expand that out more than I've only got one brother. I expand that out to the responsibility that God has placed on us all. And I think it's real easy, especially in today's world, for people to just shun their responsibilities, what they're responsible. We see it on a regular basis that in our culture and in our time, husbands, for the most part, does not take the responsibility for being a husband. There's responsibility that goes along with being a husband. And if you're a husband, then there's a responsibility there that you love your wife. That's a responsibility. And if you bring children and you become a father, a dad, then there's responsibilities in that. You know, for the biggest part of our world does not take the responsibility, a God-given responsibility for the title of who they are. If I am a husband, I am responsible. If you are a wife today, you are responsible. You can't get away from it. You can, but the Lord isn't going to accept it. Just like he didn't accept what Cain was saying. There's not acceptance here. He had told Cain, Cain, you got something working inside you. Sin lies at the door. What's going to work with you with this and where you're going is going to be destruction to you because you're not going to take the responsibility for yourself. You know, Lord help us all, but the truth of it is this, that I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for my soul. I'm responsible to take the responsibilities of my life. I'm going to have to be responsible for that. Cain didn't want to take the responsibility of, it seems to me like there was something short in that offering. The Lord said, if you do well, the best you can, with the right heart, you'll be accepted. Why aren't you accepted, Cain? Something's wrong with God's plan. The world wasn't made in mercy and they're in judgment. Something has to be wrong with the plan because there's not nothing wrong with me. I want to tell you, folks, we need to erase that kind of thinking right off and always be in the mindset of, Lord, help me to take my responsibilities, what my responsibilities are. Am I responsible for my brother? I'm responsible. Am I responsible for my neighbor? There's an old saying. I mean, we hear it a lot, saying that you can't live by what other people think. Well, I'm going to tell you that's true. That's true. There is an element in that's absolutely true. But there's also an element in that you can't, is not true. Because we are responsible. And something that I've noticed in my experience with living for the Lord over and over, and I've prayed about it in my own life, in my own times, I have seen people that have a desire for the God. They have a inclination towards God. But they never really get serious about God. But they have a drawing towards Him. They have a fellowship with His people, say. Or they have a connection through family, maybe. But there's something that keeps them there. And I think to them, they always want to be. They admire salvation. They admire the saints. They admire the old past. They admire good things. And so they always have a desire or a want and an idea that I'm going to make it. I'm going to get there. And how often I've seen, you've probably seen it too, those kind of places, and then they raise families many times. Never really there, but with always the idea, I have admiration for it. Want to bring my children around the saints. Want them to be involved. I never really want them to dress like saints, talk like saints, live like saints. I never put the same standards or ideas on them to saints, but I want them to be influenced by the saints that they'll have the same feeling about the saints that I have. Do you ever see that? I've seen it a lot of times. And you know what's sad about it? Many times what's sad about it is that that person really does get in a place in their life. Sometimes affliction, sometimes person, whatever it is that brings them to the place that they want to get serious with the Lord, and they get serious with the Lord. And now they start really getting serious with the Lord. 25, 30 years later, thank the Lord, they're getting serious with the Lord, and they've left shipwreck in their wake. They left an untaken care of responsibility all through their life, the responsibility that they had to nurture up their children the way they should go, the responsibility they had for doing what they should have done to instill, that they didn't take the responsibility, they didn't make the lines, but down the road, they have that, and then the regret and remorse that they start feeling about, I wish I would have done this better. I wish I would have done it earlier. Do you know, and Lord help us, Lord help me, because we are all influencing somebody. You say, well, I ain't much to influence. Oh, yes, you are. Just your being alive and being a human being, you're influencing somebody. And the amount of witness power that we have for the Lord, or the amount of what we're saying about the Lord, our ambassador, being an ambassador for the Lord, being able to suggest, do you know we have an influence? You have an influence today just because people know that you live for the Lord? There's a certain amount of influence that's going to have with it, and it's really easy if we're not careful to lose the respect of the people that are around you. And again, this, it would be easy to say, really easy to say, am I my brother's keeper? Am I really responsible for the neighbor that lives across the road from me? Am I responsible for him? He makes his own decisions. He goes his own way. He does his own thing. Is there any responsibility that I have towards him at all? You know, I think the answer to that is yes. You do have a responsibility. There may never be the leadings of the Lord for me to go over there and preach to my neighbors, but there is always the responsibility for me to live like Christ in their sight. It is always my responsibility to walk uprightly, to speak honestly, to have chosen words, to speak truth. It is always my responsibility to show the way of Christ to those that I'm with. I don't know who all, I mean, like I said, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for everybody that's around me? I'm going to say the Lord puts a responsibility on everybody named in the name of Christ. There's a responsibility on you for every person you meet. Like I said, not to open up some big theological conversation, but to represent Christ to them, that their ultimate opportunity, that the Scripture says that in the day of their visitation, God may be glorified. That through our lives representing to them, that they look and see there is something solid there. There's something secure there. We ought to always embrace our marriages in a day where marriages are falling to pieces and there's all kind of questions about marriages. We ought to work hard. Not to be put up a false front or facade, but we ought to always want to represent to the world, here is what Christianity does to you. Your marriage. This is what it does. This is how it helps. This is what it does. This is what makes it better. In essence, given, who wouldn't want this? I realize, and not only for this audience, but for the tape ministry, I realize it takes two for that. But the goal, the idea, Even when there's only one part of that working, there can be a powerful, powerful witness for Christ of somebody that's living for God when the other one's not. We had the example here. Brother Jim lived all those years and under adverse circumstances. We admired him for his life and his steadiness and his faithfulness and all of those things. And because he had such a hindrance, it magnified what God was doing for him. And then at the end of it, God was able to use his faithfulness to save his wife. What a beautiful story. It ought to be written down somewhere. It ought to be shared over and over because of that powerful witness. We ought to be able to show the world this because, folks, we are responsible. We are responsible. Well, I know I've told these stories, but it's the challenges of our modern... It's the challenges we have. Linda and I was going through the Walmart store, and you listen. Sometimes there are spaces that it's not, but there's regular times that people come up to us and say, "Where do you go to church at?" One guy come up and said, "Hey, can I ask you a question about modesty?" He said, "Am I modest? Do you feel like I'm modest?" He just got saved. He wanted to know. I mean, we run into this all the time. You can't say people don't notice. You can't say people don't notice because it's mainly because of my wife, because she looks different. It's saying something. Our family looks different. We look different. I don't want to not look different because I'm responsible. I'm going to be responsible. But I'm also responsible when we're going along and she clips my heels with the buggy. I remember this so plain because she clipped my... You ever get your heels clipped with a buggy? You're walking along and you get your heels clipped because instantly she clips my heel and I turn around. I know what I look like. I know exactly what I look like because I turned around and was like... And you know, it come to me just like that. You better be careful. You look holy. There's people looking at me. And it come to me, "You better be careful. You look holy." "Oh yeah, you can look it, but now how's this guy going to act?" Oh Lord, help me. Lord, help my responses. You know why? I'm responsible. I'm responsible for the reactions. We're all responsible. We're responsible for our influence that the Lord's given us. Some little, some a lot. Some have great influence, some has little influence, but the influence that you have, if you have a family or a part of a family, which, who doesn't? You are responsible. Right in here, there is fathers, husbands, there's grandmothers, there's some granddads in here, there's brothers, there's sisters. All of those make responsibility. You have a responsibility then. Not only that, you want some more titles? I know you have neighbors. Now I got some neighbors. You got neighbors. Now your neighbors are spread out farther than the rest of us, but you got neighbors. Everybody, we all have neighbors that we're going to be responsible for. And we're responsible for our influence. We're responsible for our appearance. The scripture says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. All right, now where's our responsibility? We know God knows who we are. Then what's man looking on? Is man looking on my heart and going by everything else and saying, "Yeah, he acts a certain way, but I see that he's really a good guy because I've got the ability to look down in there." You know what man looks upon? Your outward appearance. He looks, the outward man looks and sees whether you take a bath and comb your hair. Whether you got clean clothes on or dirty, whether you're kept or not kept. Whether you clean up or you don't clean up. We drive around with our van with rolls of toilet paper up in the window and paper towels and trash up there, and every once in a while I'll look at it and say, "We look so trashy." We look so trashy. That's what we're representing. We're going around this family. Well, we're representing a family because honestly, we need that toilet paper in there. We wouldn't have it up there. We need the napkins. Well, I mean, we just, but there's a witness. I can't hide it. Big blue van with a big windshield. You're going down. Right there it is, right there in front of it. But we're showing who we are all the time. You represent something by how the scripture says, this is just touching on a minute, but the scripture talks about a woman professing godliness and how she adorns herself. What she wears, how she does it, she's professing. She's witnessing something. There's something that she's saying. This is what the whole thing is about. It's the way we do it. It's our influence. Are we influencing people towards sensual things? I've heard it say many times, and young people like to say this, oh, I'm not responsible for where somebody's eyes go. Aren't you? Now, honestly, aren't you? Now take your own responsibility. I can't help but... No, you can't. But you are responsible for what you do with yourself. And what you're suggesting, you are responsible for. Am I my brother's keeper? They're old enough to manage their own eyes. They're old enough to manage their own temptations. They're old enough to do their own thing, Lord. I'm not responsible for it. You know, the Lord's saying, yes, you are. You're responsible to love those that are around you. And love will work no guile. It will work no evil. It will be caring about that situation. And therefore, it guards itself and we're responsible for it. We're also responsible for our actions. Things happen. In clipping of the heels. I remember another time I was working on a car piece. I was right out in the front yard and I had it like this. I had a piece like this and I had a flat screwdriver and I was working it hard and it slipped off of there and it went right in under my fingernail. I mean, all the way in under. It hung on the edges, but it popped the back end loose. That hurt. And I went to skipping and a hollering and holding my hand and I immediately was a thinking, because I know how you can feel. It hurt. I don't remember if I still had the screwdriver where it went or something, but that's one of them moments that I could have put it in the river. Oh, I mean, you know what? I'm responsible. I'm still responsible. I'm responsible to have grace. Lord, help me. And I know, folks, listen. Do you know we're responsible for our failures? Well, no. Failures come and go and we cover the... No. You're responsible for your failures. You know what you're responsible for? You're responsible to make them right. You're responsible to do what you can for them. And if there has to come a time that you say, you know what? Honey, I'm sorry. I haven't been a good husband. Pray with me that I'll be a better one. Honey, help me. I ain't been a good wife. Children, help me. I ain't been a good dad. Hell, I've done something here. I've done something here. I made a mistake. I said something out of turn. I should have never thrown that. I should have never responded like that. I should have never said that word. Y'all forgive me. You know we're responsible. And you know sometimes I'm not a proponent of failures. But we do have them. So what are we going to do with them? Do you know many times the Lord can take a failure and make great things out of it? It's God that can do this. But God can take somebody's failure and turn it towards other people's respect on the way they do it. To see somebody humble themselves is so rare. To really do it right. When the Lord came to Zacchaeus and he's up in that tree, I want to tell you first of all, Zacchaeus had enough going on in his heart to climb that tree. But when the Lord came and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down out of there. You know, he came out of there saying, if I've cheated anybody, I'll return them fourfold. I'll make it right with them. What's that all about anyway? Zacchaeus felt his responsibility. That if he had done wrong, he wanted them to know that his seriousness. He wanted the Lord to know. He wanted the people to know. I'm more serious about this. And what a witness when you can say to any individual, I'm more serious about going to heaven than I am anything else in my life. We get religion. You get religion. Everybody gets religion. The whole world is religion. All right? So you get religion everywhere and all these kind of things. But what people need to see is the real goods. They need to see the reality of what the gospel does for somebody. Zacchaeus made it known. They knew. Zacchaeus knew what he was doing. But if he had cheated anybody, going to return to him fourfold. He was repenting. He was changing. That had to make a great difference to the people looking on. Hey, he cheated me. And he's acting like that. If I cheated anybody, I'll give him fourfold. Oh, really? Something happened to Zacchaeus. This is a fellow that stole money from me. And now he's going to give me four. Not just paying me back, but he's paying me back with it. He's serious about it. That responsibility that we have is in our whole life. We'll pick up a very familiar scripture. Oh, let's see. I think I want Luke 10 first. Okay, Luke 10. Oh, remember this story. Jesus said what the great commandment was. Love your neighbor as yourself. But he willing to justify himself in the 29th verse says, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, or you may say this, I'm only willing to be so responsible here. I know that the Word of God says that I'm responsible to love my neighbor and all that that means. So with me, maybe I could stretch out to Selden Ridges. But Wanda's actually my neighbor. James would be my neighbor across the road there. Lanes and Longs are... they're kind of removed a little bit, but we'll stretch out and take that circle. That's my neighbors. Then Julian and Lucy. They're my neighbors. So I'm commanded to love them. This is what this guy trying to justify himself is going to throw how can you answer this question? Who am I responsible to? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now that is the function of somebody that does not want to take their responsibility. We had in Sunday school today about people that close their eyes. You close your eyes because you don't want to be responsible for what you're seeing. I say in a spiritual sense, closing your eyes means that I close off any kind of information or any kind of willingness to understand something that I may be responsible for. I don't want it. I don't want to understand it. I don't want to understand that what I'm watching, I shouldn't be watching. I don't want to understand that what I'm listening to, I shouldn't be listening to. So I'm not going to understand anything. I'm going to walk to the other side of the road with my eyes to the other side. This is what this guy done when he perceived that there was a responsibility laying there. He had probably, if he was going to, coming from Jericho, he was on, yeah. What's he walking that way for? He's going somewhere. He's doing something. And by chance, it says, he comes by. Life is full of the chances, if you want to say that like that, of life that brings all of a sudden an unexpected responsibility. Here now I'm in a place that I'm responsible. But they never even liked me. You ever have somebody that you could say, they never even liked me. Why should I? This wasn't even that situation. This was a man that was supposed to be in the places of being sensitive towards these kind of people. But you know the story. He walked to the other side of the road. Really just, it's a statement of saying that the further he was away from it, the more he deferred. That's what that means. It meant, now he could have walked 1 foot by him and been gone. But that all idea. I understand it perfectly in my mind. It was stating that he did not want that responsibility. The stating was that he went to the other side of the road because something in him knew better than that. And he had to remove himself from it to remove himself from it. He removed himself from it. The responsibility. You know what I'm saying. He had to remove himself physically to remove himself of his responsibility. And he removed himself. And he wasn't responsible. And so a Levite then comes by, and we know the story. A Levite comes by and he does the same, goes through the same procedures. And he went around him. And then a Samaritan comes by, and he's a Jew. He don't even like me. He don't even like our people. But the Samaritan comes by and sees the man in need. He takes in, he bathes his wounds, he cares for him, lets him ride his own beast, takes him down to an inn, puts him in the inn, pays for his right to be there, and also gives him the right to run debt on him to take care of the guy. And when Jesus says all that, he turns to them and says, "Now, you tell me, which one of these men was neighbor unto the men that was fallen among thieves?" You answer this question. Who was a neighbor? First time he ever met him. But he took the responsibility that was laid out there for him. We have more responsibility probably than we would be willing to grab a hold of. I can't answer that whole question. But I do know that our lives are full of interactions with people. And we're responsible for it. We are responsible for those interactions. We are responsible. There is sometimes people get the idea, and I've heard of these stories, that people get off and away from the saints. I've heard these testimonies. Then they'll do things away from there that they wouldn't do otherwise when the saints' eyes are in them. Listen, one of the things that ought to be a first indicator to you, if you're doing something that everybody's eyes can't see, you ought to be thinking about it. What am I doing that others' eyes can't see it? And there is things I understand that other people are sensitive about. We do it too. There's other things that people are sensitive about that we don't feel that way, and we would not offend. There is a perfect legitimate place there. But when there's a place that you're saying, "I can't let that, I wonder if this priest would want everybody to know what he done. If the nation of Israel was watching over, would this priest to walk by?" That's hypocrisy. It's such hypocrisy. We are responsible. And Lord help us, because I think we're responsible much more to God than we think that we are. You know, when you run into somebody and they have a need, you're responsible to pray for them. You're responsible to. Get a scripture. Oh, let's look at John, 21st chapter of John. Let's see. Fifteenth verse, 21st chapter of John. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I think this scripture needs a little explanation. Jesus said, "Simon Peter, do you love me supremely, far above, greatly?" That's the terminology. Do you love me exceedingly above everything else? Peter's answer is in the, you've got to look at the terminology, the actual words. When Jesus said "lovest" and Peter said "love," they were different words. Peter's idea when he returned back to Jesus and said, "Yes, I love thee, I respect thee, I honor thee," I appreciate what you're doing, type thing. Jesus said, do you love me extremely, exceedingly above everything? And he said, Lord, I love you, I respect you and honor you. Do you understand the language? Honey, do you think I'm the best looking thing? Well, I think you're cute. That's the language. Do you think I'm the best thing ever was? Well, I think you're pretty good. This is what it was. And where it came from is that Peter had said, remember Peter? Peter had said, the rest of these clowns, I mean, this is my words, the rest of these guys, they may forsake you. They may be offended at you. But me, never. I love you too much. I'll die with you. They take you, they take me. I got more than they got. That's kind of what it was. I don't want these other guys, but me, I ain't going to forsake you. You know what Peter did? He did like the rest of them did. He forsook the Lord. Now the Lord comes back and says, Peter, you love me exceeding, far above everything else? He was shaken, wasn't he? You ever get shaken? You ever become shaken about it? Not sure now? I'm not sure, I thought. Peter thought he knew himself and he didn't know himself, and now he's shaken by that. But the Lord gave him, feed my lambs. You know what that word feed the lambs mean? If we take it just in the English, it means you put out some hay or some feed. But that's not what that word meant. That word feed my lambs meant nourish, bring them in, gather them in, protect them, defend them, keep them warm, keep them secure, keep them safe. Give your life for them if you need to. Feeding them meant more. It meant it caring for them. Caring for them. You know what he was saying there? Peter, you're responsible. You want love me? You know, honestly, do you know that this is not, when the question is asked, am I my brother's keeper? Do you know it's not just for the health of your brother? It's for your health? Spiritually speaking, our health is wrapped up in this too. Our spiritual health is wrapped up in this too. This is what we're supposed to be. It's who we are. I'm responsible. Love me, Peter. I think he could say that to anybody. Love me. Care for what I care for. Be an ambassador for me. Oh, don't let your neighbors see something that would offend them against me. Love them. Show them Christ. Be responsible for the location that you're in. I don't know your people. You could name all kind of people that I don't know. I know a lot of people you don't know. You're not responsible for that, and I'm not responsible for yours. I'm responsible for what the Lord's put in my life. And he's told him, Peter, feed my sheep. Care for them. Defend them. Watch over them. Take care of them. Keep them warm. Keep them nourished. When the storms come, gather them in close. When the enemy's around, defend them against it. Give your life for them. Let them know and see it. We live in a time that a simple word isn't enough anymore. A simple tent meeting doesn't do it. It takes labors and works and building relationships. Caring relationships is winning people. I'm not saying that it can. I'm saying that it seems like the tide of the times that now is that people need more work with them. Lord, help us. Peter, feed my sheep. Or feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Exceedingly, greatly. He said unto him, yeah, Lord, I sure have a lot of confidence in you. I don't know how to answer you, Lord. I one time would have said I'd die for you, but look what I've done. He was shaken by it. Lord was giving him three times he denied him. And three times the Lord had to get an answer from Peter again, "You love me." He was restoring Peter back is what he was doing. Peter, you're going to let your failure, listen, you're responsible for your failures. No, I'm not responsible for them. If I've done anything to enact them, I'll be responsible for that. But I'm not responsible for your failures. You are. I'm responsible for mine. Peter's going to have to be responsible for his failures too. And he's going to have to come to a place, which is what Peter was doing right there, was saying, "Boy, I sure thought I knew something, didn't I? I need some help. I need something more than I've ever had before." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep, care for them, die for them, keep them warm, help them." He said unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep, Peter. You will find the fulfillment of your life in this responsibility. Feed my sheep. Be responsible for your brother. Be responsible for your neighbor. Be responsible for the souls of men." We so lightly can discard sometimes certain people in our minds. So easily, so lightly discard their eternal destinies, their lives. Easy. They never liked me anyway. They never cared. But always remember, the Lord loves them. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Well, Peter was going to need something for sure then, but he'd be able to help him through that. One more scripture in Matthew 9. Oh, let's see. Verse 37. He says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." And I know that we can take that and think, well, yeah, we need some more missionaries. Well, I guess maybe we do. Well, we need more evangelists. We need more preachers. We need more teachers. I read something recently that just made a whole lot of sense to me. I think it was Adam Clark wrote it. Said anybody that is pushing or pressing to be a preacher doesn't understand anything about God. That it's God that does it, calls it. And how many times God did choose the Moseses? How many times did God choose in the orders? And he was saying ministers, all ministers, are considered day servants. They're not what the world looks at it as ministers. Is not what the gospel said ministers were. Ministers are somebody that ministers to people. They minister. You say, well, there's a minister, a pulpit minister. Yes. Then there's a minister. There's minister. You. People of the that have a ministering position. He called for ministers. Pray that the Lord would send the laborers into the harvest. I'm not talking about preachers. It's talking about those that's willing to lay themselves down, their wants, their desires, take on their responsibility of what the gospel brings to them. And just in closing, there was a scripture, and we used it last week, I think, where to one he gave 5 talents, the one he gave two, and the one he gave one talent. Everyone has a talent. That talent was a weight of money, but everyone has potential. Everybody has something in the kingdom of God. No one's left out. You may say, I don't know what it is. Do you know, we've always been greatly benefited by prayer warriors. You believe in prayer? You believe prayer changes things? How about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much to change the circumstance, change the tide, to get the work of God done? Believe in prayer? Maybe we all have a little talent that way. Maybe we all ought to have a little bit of responsibility to do that. You know, something that's lost, I hope it's not totally lost, and I have to say here, Lord help me. But a very active and prominent part of the New Testament was fasting. I can prove it. Now Jesus did say of his disciples, why would they fast? Bridegroom's still here. You wait till he's gone, then fasting's going to be a big part. And it was. And through the ages, fasting was a big part of people's experience and getting their prayers answered to God. We're responsible for our time. What about what the truth is? Will what we believe, will the truth endure another generation or two? Will you be able to look out from the pulpit at Monarch and see the saints looking like the saints that they are? Will it stay that way? Somebody's responsible for the time that we live in. We're responsible for this time. We're taking on as we go. Lord help us to meet the challenge, because there's a lot of things coming. We're going to have to know how. We're going to have to know how, where to stand and how to do it. We're going to need to know how to do it. Where the Lord wants us to be. Now, I run into it quite a bit. I want to know. I want to do right, but you don't always. I know. I know the simple things like you can say you love your brother. I understand that. I understand, but I don't know exactly what loving your brother means sometimes. I know I'm supposed to love him, but I don't know in this certain place is this love or is this love? What am I supposed to do? We need that. We need the Lord to help us to understand and know what the answers for our time is. If we take the responsibility of it, then we've on our road for it. There's responsibilities in all kind of ways. And I think about when I worked on the job and I was given a job to do. Do you know I was responsible for that? My boss would say, this is yours, this is that. I was responsible for that. The Lord makes the employer responsible to the employee. He does. He makes the employer responsible to the employee that he would treat him as he would be treated. Remembering that he has somebody, God's over him. Every king ought to know, and to his servants, God's making him responsible. Our president is responsible. Very, very responsible. Do you know he makes the employee responsible to the boss? Yeah, he's responsible, which says he is. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord he's responsible. To do a day's work for a day's pay. He's responsible. We're responsible for the people in our area. I'm responsible for my little children. I'm responsible for my wife. I felt like the Lord, when the Lord first gave me my wife, I felt like the Lord gave me a charge that went along with her. I'm giving you, and you're responsible for her. I want to see her go to heaven. I'm responsible. I'm going to have to answer for God. Answer to God. I know she can make choices, but I've got to make the path as easy as I can. Because I'm responsible. You're responsible. And whether the Lord told you that today, you're still responsible for it. Because that's the way the plan is. So Lord, help us today that we take this. Am I my brother's keeper? In short, yes. I'm my brother's keeper. You pray for me.